Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to Formula Y. This is the official F1 podcast dedicated to answering your questions about the greatest sport in the world. My name is Christian Hugill, and this is my very good friend and teammate, Katie Osborne.
Aw, Christian, I like teammate. Now, we love to answer your questions on the show, and the way to send them in is via email. The address is ywhy@f1.com. You can send us a voice note or just write out your question, and that is exactly what Mikko Ositarlo did in Finland.
Mikko, thank you for your question from the land of Hakkinen, Raikkonen and Bottas. Mikko says, how will Formula One address the challenges of sustainability and why will F1 be a success in this? Well, Mikko, me and Katie have been looking into it and we have got some answers.
Ah, you're right, Christian, but there is a lot to explore here. F1 is doing more than anyone might think to reduce its carbon footprint. So we're going to dive into all of that here on Formula Y. Christian has been to the home of McLaren over in the UK to talk to the team's CEO, Zak Brown, and McLaren sustainability director, Kim Wilson. Now, she's in charge of making their team more green.
She is. Big old job. And we're also going to hear from one of Formula One's big bosses. Ellen Jones is the head of sustainability for the entire sport.
Yeah, it's very interesting. F1 has set itself a massive target. Reach carbon net zero by 2030. Now, you may have seen that slogan on TV while you've been watching races or around racetracks, but it's more than just words. The sport really is taking action to reduce its carbon footprint. Some of the stuff is kind of small, but some of it is really, really big.
And one of those big projects is changing the race calendar. For 2024, some races have been rescheduled. They've been grouped more regionally to shorten the journeys between them, and that reduces the amount of carbon produced when moving from race to race.
That's right. Now, Christian, here's a stat for you and everyone here. Less than 1% of F1's carbon footprint is caused by the cars running on the racetrack. As head of sustainability, it's Ellen Jones's job to make F1 as environmentally friendly as possible. And she's been talking to Christian.
Ellen, thank you for joining us on Formula Y.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Well, it's lovely to be here. And by here, we also don't just mean Formula One. We mean the British Grand Prix. We're in one of the commentary boxes, which is funny. That does mean we're right next to the track. So if you hear cars in the background of me and Ellen talking, that's why. It's a Formula One podcast, so it's not entirely unexpected, is it?
Yes, it feels like we're on point.
Feels at point and at home. Now, speaking of the British Grand Prix, we've been recently talking about the 2024 F1 calendar. It's quite different, and one of the main reasons it looks quite different is because there's been some changes to help make the sport more sustainable. So talk us through what's happened and why that's happened with the calendar, Ellen.
When you talk about Formula One and sustainability, we actually impact on a number of layers, whether it's net zero by 2030, sustainable events, and across our operations. But when you come to calendar specifically, the reason it is important is because it impacts our carbon footprint. And our carbon footprint is driven two-thirds by travel and logistics, which means we have to look at the distance we travel in order to lower that carbon impact.
And speaking of that carbon impact, it's going to bring some changes that for people who've been fans of Formula One like me for a long time will be really unusual, because I've always known the Japanese Grand Prix to be towards the end of the season. There's been titles decided there, but now that moves to the start of the year. I'm guessing the logic behind that is it's next to China. So we can do China and Japan because they're much closer together.
Yeah, and having a promoter like the Japanese Grand Prix moving up into earlier in the calendar is a huge step, because when you have a calendar date, it's really a motive. It's like, yes, we've done the end. Yes, it's about our holiday. But having that movement means that it's less travel between Japan and China. And it's that simple.
And then at the end of the season, Qatar is back to back with Abu Dhabi. They're much closer together. Again, that's more regional. Ellen, why doesn't F1 just go, right, we'll do all those races all close together and we'll move from this bit of the world to this bit of the world? Because from what I've been told, it's a bit more complicated than that.
Yes, it is, as are all things in life. So when you talk about calendar, you not only have when do you race, how does it fit with climate, how does it fit with holidays, how does it fit with all of the other events that are happening in these great cities and countries where we are having races. But you also have the logistics network and how that is attached to it. So currently, when you look at logistics and people look at the map, they go, ah, this travels point to point. And that is important because it's the distance traveled. But also, we have many other logistics networks that underpin this, such as sea freight, which actually crisscrosses, or road freight, which has, if you're having a back-to-back, can be quite tight to ensure that the equipment and the kit can actually get to race in that time. So when we look at our calendar, and why changing it is important, it's important for two reasons. There's one, impact, right? If you travel less distance, you have less of a carbon footprint. That is a good point to have. The second is visibility, so that people understand you can't see carbon. You can't see, well, no one can see us today, but we're in a building that's powered by renewable energy. Here at Silverstone. And you can't see that, right? In the same way that it's hard for people to understand carbon. But understanding our travel plan shows, one, Formula One is strategically committed to hitting net zero by 2030. But two, through our calendar, you can start to see how those changes come into play.
And just briefly on the calendar before we move on to other topics, I believe that the Japan changes we've made, for example, the Qatar changes, that is just the first step, isn't it? And more long-term, F1 would like to do a little bit more shifting around to make it more sustainable.
Yes. So the key thing about where we are in our sustainability journey is that every day is a new step. And we constantly want to look to improve, whether that's calendar or whether that's our operations at these fantastic events. So when we look at travel and logistics, we're not just looking at, well, how can we make a small change, a small efficiency. We're also looking at how do we completely relook at the delivery of travel and logistics. And that might have more sea freight. That will definitely have more regional hubs. And how we increase those changes, like our biofuel trucks on the European legs, will all have carbon reductions. And it's up to the engineers to say, well, what does that solution look like? And I'm really looking forward to seeing how we develop that.
I do hear people criticise F1 for not being green enough. The things they immediately say are, well, it's cars racing around the track, but less than 1% of F1's annual carbon footprint is down to cars running on track. And I think so few people know that. Of course, a big part of your job, therefore, is looking at the other 99%, because F1 cars already use a mixture of, you know, turbo hybrid. They use electrical energy. That technology filters through to the rest of the automotive industry, and people just don't realise that. But what are the other bits that you do and are looking at to try and ultimately make F1 greener?
When I come to F1 saying, how are we going to make F1 more sustainable? We break it down into two areas. There's one, what is our contribution to society? What do we do because we're F1 and because we have something to give back? And it's exactly what you just talked about. It is the future of road relevant technology to look at the global car park, you know, how people got to the race today, how they could get to the race in future of traveling from A to B. And that's hybrid technology, which is already in the Formula One cars. And that's sustainable fuels by 2026. And that will be the next innovation in future years as our engineers work on that. But for me, when I say, well, how do I hit net zero by 2030? I have to do that with the technology of today. It's a lot of work with our race promoters. So our race promoters are the hosts of our events. And what we do with them annually is create a sustainability plan. We work with them on six key areas in terms of how they improve their delivery on plastic and waste, fan travel, energy at site, local community, carbon. And all of that is incredibly important in terms of how we deliver, because sustainability is the sum of many actions. Carbon, incredibly important. That's what net zero is. But sustainable events, equally as important. And you see that in action across our events, but also you see that in action across the F1 community. So Austria is a really good example of a recent trial that we ran, and it was all about how do we use less energy in the paddock. So the paddock is the area where the teams are located, it's where the garages are located, it's also where a lot of the business of F1 happens, that epicenter. And you probably could describe it better than me.
I think you did a perfect job, so carry on.
But there's a in terms of the energy that we use at site, because all of those individuals aren't normally at the track, you tend to need a generator to power it. And typically, all of those groups that I just, and stakeholders, which I mentioned, would bring their own generators. And what that means is they just traveled on the logistics network, so that's a carbon impact, and then they're using power at that site. So we said, how do we do this differently? And in terms of what that looks like is we created in Austria a centralized generator farm, effectively, that was powered by solar panels, powered by biofuel, and it meant that all of those paddock users were getting energy from a renewable source and that they didn't have to rely on bringing their own generators. So that's just a start. It was a trial to say, can we get data? Can we work like this? Can the teams trust us to provide this critical energy power to them during the race? And I'm really looking forward to seeing more projects like that and how we continue to reduce not only our environmental impact, but show others how we can improve at events as a whole.
And from, I didn't go to the Austrian Grand Prix, but I watched it on television. It looked like the electricity was on, so it suggests that the trial went fairly well.
Yes, no one was yelling at us on the phone, good. Or at least me, so that's a sign of success.
I watched it, I enjoyed it, I wasn't in the country, good start. And it's even smaller things, isn't it? You mentioned this building we're in now is solar powered. This interview, we've plugged our equipment in, this interview is running off renewable energy. You won't find single-use plastics in an F1 paddock. And also, we're seeing Formula One actually travel with fewer people going across the world. Is that right? For example, a lot of TV coverage produced at home and back in the UK rather than flying people out unnecessarily to Qatar and Abu Dhabi.
Yes. So remote broadcast operations, which sounds technical, is actually, there's a lot of people and kit sitting in Kent in the UK. And that is where our productions are based. And it means where previously they would travel race to race, they actually run a lot of the world feed and the activities from that site. And it's fantastic. So whether we were in Silverstone today or in Las Vegas in a couple months, all of those people in kit will still be based in Kent. They do get to go home.
That's good.
But for the races, they don't need to travel so that we can therefore reduce our carbon footprint.
We look after our staff at Formula One. We let them go home occasionally. And just finally, Ellen, back to more on-track things. Formula One's developing what is really a potentially game-changing sustainable fuel for 2026. Now, we're actually going to look at this in a lot more detail in a future episode of Formula Y. But just briefly, that sustainable fuel, I'm told, is being made in a way that doesn't add to the amount of carbon in the atmosphere.
Yeah, so I'm sure you're going to have some amazing guests who are going to talk about sustainable fuel in detail with you.
We'll have a go.
Yeah, but at a top line perspective, what is sustainable fuel? It means that it is not derived from fossil fuel sources, so that's a big check. It also means that it can be dropped into existing cars. So the cars that we drive today, rather than having to need a new infrastructure, it can be mixed into current fuels, or it can go in directly or into the Formula One car. And that's critical because we need multiple solutions to reduce our carbon footprint, and sustainable fuel could have a lot of applicability, not just to a Formula One car, but also to how we get to the grocery store.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Ellen Jones, F1's head of sustainability. Man, she really does have an important job. And it's interesting to hear just how many different areas she's looking into. It's the fuel in the cars. It's using more ships and fewer planes to move F1 around the world. It's looking at the race calendar. There's more vegetarian food in the paddock and no plastic water bottles.
Do you know, as you've just read that list and said everything from more vegetarian food to fewer planes, got me thinking, I bet she's got a busy email inbox. I bet she gets a lot of emails.
Yeah, no, I bet she does. You know, another one, Christian, that I was thinking about was the no plastic water bottles, the first race I showed up to. I was not prepared. I was not prepared for how sustainable F1 was. And I was looking for my water. And it turns out you need to bring your own water bottles to fill up. They have plenty of stations. I just guzzling under a water station wasn't the way to do it for my first F1 race.
I'm glad. Did you find some water eventually?
I did, yes.
Okay, I'm glad about that. Eden is very much leaving no stone unturned.
Plus, it's having an effect. F1 itself and Pirelli, the tire company, have all met the FIA's highest 3-star environmental standards. And so have all the 10 F1 teams. They're all doing a brilliant job finding ways to become more sustainable, Christian. But right now, we're going to lean into McLaren because they're doing some really cool things. Christian, you went to their base, the McLaren Technology Center, to speak to the team's CEO, Zach Brown, and their sustainability director, Kim Wilson.
Thank you for having us on.
Hey, well, it's lovely to be here.
I'm making that assumption you're happy to be here.
Oh, of course. Yes, lovely to be here and lovely to meet you.
It's lovely to be here at the McLaren Technology Center. It is the most fantastic facility. It looks quite like a spaceship. And Zach's sustainability, and this is not one of these things that people say, it's at the heart of what we do, but it genuinely is, even in the building at McLaren, isn't it? Even walking around, everything is sort of geared around it.
We started really in 2013 when our building was recognized by the FIA. We got the, I believe it was the 3-star accreditation from the FIA. So everything you see here in this facility, which then it was designed by Sir Norman Foster, now Lord Foster, who also did the Apple building. Everything in here has a function to it with sustainability in mind. So the lake cools our wind tunnel. All the big glasses allows us to have the windows less lighting, the way the air is circulated throughout the building. So it has been something that McLaren's been leading the way on for over a decade.
We answer a question every week on Formula Y. This week's question is all about why and how Formula One is getting greener.
And you know what? The reason we brought in Kim, because I know you were about ready to ask me that question. We didn't want to be one of those, hey, who wants to lead sustain? We wanted a sustainability expert. That was our desire, to be that dedicated to sustainability. So Kim's background is one of sustainability, and that's why we brought her in, because I knew you were going to ask that question. I was just getting ahead of you.
Could literally read my mind, because what I was about to say was, it's almost like we planned it. There's almost no better to talk about why the sport and how the sport's getting greener. From a McLaren perspective, what is McLaren doing to try and, you know, lower its carbon footprint, get greener, be more sustainable?
Exactly. So the first, as you say, is in climate action. So we've committed to reducing our emissions as much as we can. We've already been doing some great things, like in the building, as Zach talked about. We've switched to LED lighting, getting our house in order. We've really succeeded in reducing our emissions by 22% compared to 2019. But it's about moving forward consistently. So we've got a target to have halved our emissions by 2030 and to be net zero by 2040. We then, very closely related to that, are looking at how we can be less wasteful. And so adopting the concept of a circular economy. So rather than the take, make, use, dispose model, keeping things in use. And that's really important because we make our car. And we use a lot of materials to do that. So we're really proud that we've managed to reduce our waste by about 19% so far, and we've got more to do in that space. And that's really important for our net zero targets.
And Kim, you've just mentioned the sporting side of things there. Zach, often people who aren't familiar with Formula One, if they're going to criticise Formula One for its green credentials, immediately look to the cars, right? It's motor racing, it's fuel, it's petrol, it's engines. But actually, Formula One, as far as motorsports go, is pretty green, isn't it? And from what I understand, a lot of McLaren's push at the moment is about trying to have an impact in other areas away from just the car.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's understandable for those people that don't follow Formula One closely or understand the technologies in the sport, that you kind of motor racing engine. And now today we've got, you know, battery technology, electric technology, sustainable fuels coming, ethanol, the actual power unit, which we now call it, is such a small part of the carbon footprint that we leave behind, the majority of it is our global travel. So in that, side of things, we're kind of no different than any other global business or global sporting event, an Olympics, a World Cup, whatever you may have. So I think there needs to be some better education on what Formula One is doing. Things like safety, we're absolutely leading the way in innovation and sustainability. Of course, the sport can do a better job, and it's a huge focus for us, but they're the most thermal efficient engines in the world. In the last engine regulation change, we had to use something like 30% less fuel, which is a huge technical feat, but we kind of didn't talk about it enough. So I think we've kind of done a little bit of a disservice to ourselves by not making people more aware of what Formula One is doing. And that's one of the things that we want to do is we talk to hundreds of millions of fans around the world. How can we use our platform, our technology, our employees to contribute to other governments and other companies, of which we work with a lot of our partners, to make their world a more sustainable place? So when I started here, I always used to walk around saying, we're here to kind of just entertain people. Now, I think given our technology and our passion and desire towards sustainability, not only can we entertain people, I think we can make the world a better place. And a great example of that was the ventilator challenge. When COVID hit, the UK government fell short of ventilators, and McLaren, along with a handful of other Formula One teams and a few other industries, came together. We made 10 years worth of ventilators in about 10 weeks. So for sure, that helps save some lives.
It just shows you the technology in Formula One, doesn't it? Because Formula One has led the way in terms of, you know, green credentials in engines that have eventually filtered down into road cars. But Formula One is a relentless machine, and it is one of the most high-pressure sports in the world. Why, Zach, is sustainability therefore so important? Surely people like yourself are focusing on winning above anything else.
Well, I think you can win with sustainability. And I think we all have, you know, we are in the entertainment business, and we're in the, you know, help make the world a better place, whether that's through entertainment or through technology. So I think we have a responsibility. It's the right thing to do. When you look at what's going on around the world, you can't deny that we have a climate problem with what's gone on, especially recently with COVID and all the stress that put everyone under, that there are mental health and well-being issues. And why wouldn't we, if we have the ability to help drive change, why wouldn't we contribute to making society and the world a better place? And it's something that all our fans are behind, all our employees are behind. I just think it's the right thing to do.
And on that, Kim, we know that the actual running of the cars on track makes up less than 1% of the sport's sort of total carbon footprint. What other areas, and you mentioned a few of them earlier, but to sort of bullet point a couple of other areas, what other areas is McLaren having that impact in bringing that carbon footprint down?
A lot of it comes down to looking at how we're more efficient in using the materials that we use, looking at alternative materials that are less high impact. So we've had a really nice example for a few years now of Lando seat being made from flax fibre rather than carbon fibre, and we're really excited to explore how we could apply that to other areas of the car in the future, because that's got about an 80% lower carbon footprint. We need to look at other areas of the car as well. Other series have looked at tyres, and that's got a big opportunity. So in our supply chain, that's really important. We've also done some work around logistics. So air freighting is much more carbon intensive than sea freight. So we've been looking at how we can transition away. And so far, we've achieved a 9% reduction in our freight as well. And then there are things like holding on to some of the learnings from COVID. Because people couldn't travel, we found a really great solution in Formula One to be able to have some of the team and the race strategy team support the race weekends remotely. And we've kept to that. And that means not so many people travel. That's good for our carbon footprint. It's also good for people's health and well-being.
Zach, we spoke a little bit about the sporting side of things earlier, and we know that Formula One is relentlessly competitive. The teams tend to try and keep secrets from each other. That's sort of the basis of Formula One, to try and outsmart other teams for developments that make the cars faster. Actually, in terms of sustainability, would you like to see the teams work together more on this, or Will teams look to try and beat each other to be the most sustainable? How does it work in terms of the sport working together a little bit?
Yeah, I think we do need to work together. This is a race that we're all in together. Of course, we are competitive with each other, and I think that helps push each other to greater heights. So, you know, we want to be in the race together, but we want to be number one because we think that will pull everyone else along and we'll all challenge each other. And, you know, the way the governance around the framework is set up, there are some areas that we'd like to see investment in sustainability that will have a longer term payoff. But if you look at it from a pure sporting point of view, some teams might see that as a bit of a loophole to buy some more immediate performance advantage. So we're working closely with Formula One and the FIA and the other teams of how can we come up with a revised set of financial regulations that embraces sustainability, encourages sustainability, but doesn't have what we say in Formula One, unintended consequences of someone kind of taking advantage of that and kind of going outside the spirit of what that regulation's for to buy some more shorter term competitive advantage. So we need to work through that.
I guess what you're saying, to put it in layman's terms, is if a development was brought in with this, with the aim of making everything greener, but actually that ended up taking tenths off a second off lap times.
Yeah, correct. You know, if there's an area that we could invest in, maybe we'll get that lap time in the future, or, you know, it doesn't have a pure on-track short-term performance benefit.
But it is greener.
But it is greener. Yeah. That's very important. But if at the same time another team identifies, actually, we can spend that in a non-green manner and get a short-term benefit, the nature of the competitive sports, you're going to have some teams going, I'm going to spend it over here because I'm going to see a lap time next weekend. And what we don't want to do is be in a situation where you're not investing in the right areas because it's not bringing the immediate performance gains that it might if you spent it elsewhere. So that's what it needs to be worked through. Either we're all on the sustainability journey together and we invest in it, but you can't, you know, do a little bit of a U-turn and spend it somewhere else, find a competitive advantage. And it's like, wait a minute, we're investing for the future. They're investing for the short term. And then that's where you run into, you know, some challenges.
And just finally, Kim, I suppose roles like yourselves being created just shows that actually, I suppose people do look at Formula One. Zach, we mentioned it earlier, and think cars, engines. They don't necessarily think of impact on the planet. But anyone involved in Formula One, like I'm fortunate enough to be, and it may sound like, oh, we're on an official Formula One podcast and we're saying this, but it's so true. You do see efforts to be green all across the sport. This is something the sport's really thinking about, isn't it?
Absolutely. We are all absolutely committed to playing our part in terms of sustainability, and we're just all doing it in slightly different ways depending on where our remit is. But it's so important because it's everything from what happens at a race event. You know, eliminating disposables and single-use plastic is really highly visible, and that's where fans can play their part. What we, you know, how we do our catering is also another bit. How fans get to races is another really key part that needs to be addressed. But equally, what we're doing in the factory, how we're travelling to races, how we make the car, what we make the car from, that's all the bigger picture of how we can all make a contribution within our sport. And everyone's got a part to play.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you about this. I feel like I've learned a lot. I really have. And Zach, little things like I didn't even realise that the lake at the front of this building wasn't just there to look pretty. I hadn't realised that it also has an impact.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want to swim in it.
No, but it's good that it's got a further role.
It definitely has a further role. And you can tell when the wind tunnel's on because you'll see the water coming down on the side, and it's actually cooling the water. So it's fascinating how sophisticated this building is.
Yeah, I find that more interesting than I really should do. Zach, Gibb, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for going on to Formula Y.
Thanks for having us on.
So great to hear from Zach and Kim. And Christian, it's really fascinating to know that they've changed the material used for Lando Norris's race seat to make it more environmentally friendly, and to hear that huge lake outside McLaren's factory cools their wind tunnel.
It does cool the wind tunnel. That's not all. Would you like some exclusive news to Formula Y, Katie?
Yes.
Oscar Piastri told me that lake has fish in it as well.
Oh, so they go fishing in there too. They also...
I don't think they go fishing. I don't think they use it for the canteen, but there are fish living in the lake, which powers a wind tunnel.
That's another way they are sustainable. They grill and their own fish there in McLaren. This is how rumours get started. That is not true.
I hope that F1 next year makes all F1 teams grow their own food their factory. Yeah, that would be good. And for more about wind tunnels and why they're so important in F1, check out our episode on wind tunnels, which, in a surprising turn of events, is all about wind tunnels.
Imagine that. But before we go, messages. Will in South Carolina says, I'm new to F1 this year. Will, welcome. Your family of podcasts and website are extremely informative, especially the Y-Pod. Keep up the good work. Thanks. And thank you, Will.
Will, that is very kind. Frank in Philadelphia has been on. Frank says, hello, Y team. Loving the podcast and learning so much. Love the interviews with drivers and other members of F1 teams and the greater F1 community. Appreciate the perspective. That is lovely of you, Frank. We'll keep sending your questions to why@f1.com. And please do leave us a rating or review and hit follow or subscribe, whatever your podcast provider calls it. That is the fastest way to get new episodes.
Yeah, and you can check out other episodes on pit stops, race engineers, driver fitness, and lots more. And take Will in South Carolina's advice. Listen to the other F1 podcasts, F1 Beyond the Grid and F1 Nation, and get yourself onto F1.com and the F1 app. They are extremely helpful and useful as it relates to information.
And those podcasts are presented by Tom Clarkson. And just like the drivers, me and Katie are off now for our summer break. And again, just like the drivers, we're off to a very intense team training camp. We'll be at a podcast retreat being put through our paces by our team leader, Tom Clarkson, and by producer Chris. Also, we are super fit and ready to return on Friday, the 25th of August. Are you looking forward to the podcast retreat, Katie?
Yes, but I mean, I really like our podcast and I really...
Always room for improvement. We're striving for the best on Formula Y. Listen,
that's right.
Have a great summer break. We will be back on Friday, the 25th of August. Thank you for listening. We'll see you very soon. Bye for now.